Blog Talk Radio.
Channel. I wanted to start the show a little different tonight because I noticed that a lot of people on the Blog Talk Radio, the hostess or the host, they all begin with a little paraphrase or a little ad about what they do. And I never felt the need to do that. I don't still feel the need to, but I thought it would be a good idea just to kind of tell you a little bit about myself. I am Satchitananda. For me, that means I am consciously aware of my presence in every moment. And my intent is to be God realized. And I've been doing this kind of show for a couple of years now, on and off. And now I realize that I'm here to basically wake myself up in every moment. So what I do on the show is talk out loud what I say, and I listen out loud so that I can learn what I need to, hear what I need to learn for me. And whoever's involved in that is doing the same thing for themselves vicariously through the aspect of themselves they call Ananda, because that's what it's all about. And tonight I really wanted to delve into the mindset of relationships, because this show is about rebirthing the sacred union, and also it's the love channel, so it's about love. And I came to realize a lot this week, a lot of different awarenesses that came through as I sit and I observe my day and watch how I interact with aspects of me that I call daddy and children and neighbors and coffee shop partners and people that I just kind of meet through the course of the day that I feel is an out picturing of something I feel about me. So I guess about 3 or 4 days ago, the local bookstore, which I've tended to be a part of for many years, I wrote a bunch of books there, and I counseled many people in that environment thinking I was doing that. Didn't realize everything I was doing was for me. But I picked up a book by a man that I honestly feel, if anyone mirrors me as I am in truth, it would be Dr. Bruce Lipton, who is a microbiologist who has spent a lot of years, probably about 40 years, researching the body, you know, biology, and spending a lot of time teaching also what he needed to learn. And I guess I bumped into him about maybe 5 or 6 years ago, whenever his first book came about, and that was The Biology of Belief. And then he came up with another book called Spontaneous Consciousness, I believe that book is. And then the other night I picked up his newest book, which is called The Honeymoon Effect. And it's basically how to live heaven on earth. And that's what I've been writing about and speaking about for the last 20 years. When I picked up this book, I saw everything that I've been teaching realized just in looking at the cover. I knew that cover. I knew that cover. I knew the contents. And I realized that all was that was happening in that moment, it was I was beginning to see the realization and the confirmation of what I've been hearing from the voice within me, which I call the giver of all, for the last 21 years, 22 years. And he is saying exactly, word for word, what I have been teaching myself in classes called The Course in Miracles and workshops that I've done in a number of places, and also anytime I had counseled anyone. So I only read about 10 pages, but I went on to listen to a blog talk radio that he had done, which I felt that I needed to listen to for some reason. And when I listened to it, it was actually word for word what I teach and what I've been, you know, sharing with people for as long as I can remember. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to attempt to let the listener, whether it be, again, live listener or the chat room listener or the person that lives in archives or listens in the archives, a little blurb of Bruce Lipton on another talk radio show. And my computer is, like, really freaky tonight. There's a lot of storms in me, outside of me, obviously. And so I'm seeing a little bit of unusual behavior. So if I do get disconnected, please know that I'll call right back, and just so hang in there. So I'm going to put you in touch with this recording of Bruce Lipton on a show. I'm trying to pull the page up so you can know the show, so you can listen to the entire show after you listen to me or at another time. But I would highly recommend it because it's a beautiful show. And unfortunately, I don't see the host name here, but the show is called Life in the Present Tense. And this was aired 3 weeks ago with Bruce Lipton. So now I'm going to just pass it over to Bruce Lipton, and I hope he doesn't mind. I'm sure he doesn't, because he's just going to hear himself to other people tonight. People are going to get the opportunity to see this beautiful man who claims to be 68 years old. I look at his face. He looks like he's in his 20s. He's so full of life and love, and he's a man who is living what he teaches. And I'm honored and pleased to have any kind of connection with this man. I really feel that he is the person that came into this reality to validate who I am as far as the higher consciousness. So I'm going to play it right now.
As people that know me for at least from a while back, and Mr. Bruce Lipton wrote a book on relationships, are you crazy? And are you, what, how, what? And the fact is, well, because I've actually been involved in an experiment in my own life in biology and belief, and I am now, it's an experiment that's ongoing. It's called Happily Ever After. And right now I'm 17 years into Happily Ever After, and it's just as fresh and beautiful today as it was 17 years ago. So applying the principles that I talk about made a profound difference. It's really funny for me because I lecture in the biology of belief, and I started lecturing about this in 1983, I think, 84. And I remember that I'd give this lecture, because I understood the nature of this mechanism about how cells work, which is actually a new science called epigenetics. I saw it 40 years ago and started to work and understand it. And epigenetics is how our perceptions of life adjust our biology. When I understood the nature of this, I remember getting up in front of people the first time around saying, listen, if you understand what I'm really talking about, you can create this most fabulous life. And they would look at me and cock their heads a little bit and go, you know, listen, your life doesn't look that good for a guy who says you know how to do this. And I realized I was almost about to say, well, do as I say, not as I do. I realized, wait a minute, there's a disconnect here. My consciousness is totally aware of all this stuff, but my life is still the same old life. And that's when I realized I had to change the way I was running my life to manifest what my consciousness was aware of, but make it part of my life. And when I started doing that, changed my whole life, and it led me into, and I think this is fundamental for all the work that you're doing, is the first important belief that we have to accommodate. And I know when we test a large, in groups of people, 80% or more of the people will not test positive for a belief statement of, I love myself. This is the most profound thing, because if you can't love yourself, then by definition, how can anybody else love you? I mean, it doesn't make sense. If you're not lovable, then how can somebody love you? I guess they have no, criteria or anything. And why this becomes important is because before you can go out and love somebody else, you have to love yourself. Otherwise, you're immediately connected to a codependency relationship, and that's a disaster waiting in the wings right there.
Well, most people are not, most people are not brought up in an environment that is facilitated that we're supposed to love ourselves. It's like we're criticized from a very young age. We're told what not to do. Society tells us how to be. And I think it makes sense why very few people would really be able to say, I love myself and really feel it. I'm sorry. I was just going to say that. Yeah, that just doesn't seem like the way most people start their lives.
No, they don't. This is the fact. This is why 80% or more of the people have this issue. It's very interesting because there's a programming period during development. The first 7 years, our brain is in a record mode. It's functionally an electroencephalograph reading the EEG of brain activity. A child doesn't have a brain activity of a high enough frequency for consciousness alpha, which is the frequency alpha. And it has a predominant brain state until after 7, meaning the first 7 years, they're not operating predominantly at all in the concept of consciousness. They're operating in a lower vibrational frequency called theta. And theta is connected with us. If you get in theta right now, you're in a state of imagination. Well, you think about it. That's what kids between 2 and 7 especially are playing in the imaginary world, mixing it with the real world, and they're expressing that theta activity. But people don't also recognize a more important fact. Theta is hypnosis. And basically what it does is you download behavior and the rules of life by observing other people and then recording their behavior, especially like your mother or your father or your siblings, family, community, et cetera. The point about it is this, is that the first 7 years then, you're not in a state of consciousness, you're just downloading. And not only did we download the rules of how to fit into a family and, you know, how to make the dynamics work, more importantly, and this is where your work comes in, Laura, very important, more importantly, we are also downloaded with who are we. See, we don't have a consciousness of where self-consciousness is not really working at that level yet. After 7, self-consciousness kicks in. So before self-consciousness, like, who am I? Well, you find out who you are by what people say about you, your parents or the people around. And what we find out is 70% of the stuff they say is disempowering and limiting and self-sabotaging kinds of things. You know, interesting, a parent feels like they're like a coach. Okay, so I'm coaching my kid to be better. And what they don't recognize is that when a kid is under 7, whatever the parent says is just directly recorded, just like on a videotape. There, here it is, this recording. And parents are like encouraging their children like coaches. How does a coach encourage them? Like, oh, they're saying, you could do better. That wasn't good enough. Go practice more. Do better. That's not right. And so the first 7 years of our lives, parents are thinking they're helping us by, you know, like, well, you're not good at this, meaning that you could be good at this, but you're not, so work on it. But you have to be able to be conscious to figure out what your parents are meaning. If you just record what your parents said was, you're not good at this, you're not that, and you're not this, and you don't deserve things, and who do you think you are? These are their efforts to try to get us to think in a different way, but the child is not thinking at that level before 7, so it's a direct recording. And the behaviors associated with who are we are predicated on these recordings. So then we judge ourselves not by what we personally believe, we judge ourselves by what people have said about us that we recorded. And most of that is very negative, and therefore very critical.
Well, so what you're basically saying is that we have very little control over what information we take in and how this is really shaping our lives until we come to the point we realize we have some issues, and then
yeah.
We have to do some work, right?
Yeah, and this is absolutely true. And see, the problem is this. What I'm talking about is that the biology belief has been out there for a while, and it's a solid understanding about the nature of how your beliefs and your perceptions of life shape your biology, and then it comes down to your mind. So it's really a book about the biology of how mind connects to a body.
Mm-hmm.
And so we say, yeah, the mind is controlling your life, and then we have to say, well, wait, there's two parts to this mind. There's the conscious part and the subconscious part. Now, these are profoundly important to understand because we group them together so that they're like the one mind. It's like, no, it's a two-part mind, and the two parts are, they work together, but they're not the same. So this becomes important. So to define, firstly, what is it when I say mind? What is the representation? Well, conscious and subconscious. So they're two different minds. They work in different ways, and more importantly, they learn in different ways. So this is where the problems come from. And it goes like this: if we just briefly look at it, conscious mind is like the seat of your personal identity, your spirit, your uniqueness. You as an individual represent something in the conscious mind, which is the latest evolution of the brain, just behind your forehead. It's a lump of brain tissue called the prefrontal cortex. That's where the seat of your personal identity is. And the relevance about the conscious mind that makes it so profound is that it's creative. The conscious mind, I say, imagine this or that, and you can put things together and create, and it's all great. So, and the conscious mind's creative. As compared to the subconscious mind, which is much more powerful, but it's a habit mind. It plays programs. It doesn't do creativity very well at all. It just push the button, play the program, push the button, play it again for your whole life. Every time you push the button, it's going to play the program. So two minds, creative, conscious mind connected to you, and subconscious mind programs. And so now, and then here comes the problem, I guess, if we really just get right to the point, what is the problem in our world today? The problem is this. We believe we are running our lives with our conscious mind. So when you get up in the morning, you say, yes, I'm going out to be successful today. I'm going to be in love. I'm going to find help. I'm going to get a great job. And you go out in the world, and then you come home at night with your tail between your legs, and you go, well, that didn't work. And you say, well, what happened? Well, the first thing was this. Well, it wasn't me, because I was the person who went out in the morning looking for success. And when I come home not finding it, then it can't be me. I'm the victim of life and circumstances and fate and all these things. So there's a belief that, yes, we have great wishes and desires, and yet we don't manifest them, and it's not us. It's just the world. That's our belief. Now comes the truth.
Okay, I want to stop there because I really feel like I want to interject, and I hope that that was legible or not legible, but hearable, or that you can hear it. I really feel tonight I wanted to discuss relationships, and basically how I relate to me is how I see things, people, places, and things occur in my perceptual reality. And so what Bruce just led up to was the fact that we have been conditioned for the first 7 years of our life, which really is the spirit we came in with, that we identified with in spirit before we made manifest to parents or two caretakers or one, it doesn't even matter, to take care of us. It was just us coming into a state of being and out picturing aspects of ourselves to validate who we were. So that's, to me, mommy and daddy. And so in that 7-year period, we become the computer that is just Windows, whatever the new Windows is, or Mac, whatever Mac is. And what we do is we enter programs. We start entering systems. We put on Photoshop, we Audacity. We put on all different kinds of programs that are going to activate a new life for us, that are going to initiate change for us. So we put in emotions. We put in excitement, we put in fear, we put in doubt, whatever. We put all these things into the system to validate the spirit I am coming into this reality, out picturing parents that are absolutely divinely reflecting what the spirit I am feels about itself. And so for that 7 years, what's going on, it's not even education, it's a reaffirmation, a reaffirming that what I was, I am, and continue to be for 7 waking years in reality. And, of course, because in that state we're subconscious, because we're little children, so to speak, with really no power, so we feel. So we're just replaying those old mindsets that might have been happening in parallel realities, whatever, cause and effect. You can call it karma. It doesn't matter, but we're in the perfect environment. After that 7-year period, we start to get a sense of something's not right. I have to break free from this because I feel like something's not right. It's almost like we're getting a heads up within that we're not coming into space-time to reenact what was. We're coming in to change the situation, to free ourselves of the chains that bound us to another reality that was unfulfilling and painful and whatever. So we start to be ourselves. As soon as we start to be ourselves in that we are trying to be conscious and initiate change in our reality, we start to get immediate feedback from our parents, from our siblings, from our environment. And most of it is come back, get back. Where are you going? What are you doing? Get back. And most of it's negative. It's reaffirming the fear, reaffirming that which was, and we get to a point in consciousness where we are actually program response machines, which I talk about all the time. This show that Bruce did, again, at the end I will restate the show, you know, who was it, where they, what it happened 2 weeks ago on Blog Talk Radio. And for me, if you watch this show, you'll be clear. You'll understand completely what I've been trying to share for 22 years in my conscious reality with myself and with my world. So what happens is life goes on, and we become the obedient child of the ego, of the persona, of the spirit we came in with. And we do it, and we do it, and we do it. Now, some of us from a very early stage rebel, and we don't do it. We change, like I feel I did from the time I was 3 years old. I disassociated from any kind of remembrance and program and pattern that I was in. Anyway, so what happens is, and this goes right to love, because this show is about love. It's about reinstating or reenacting or rebirthing the sacred union, which is within. That's the male-female principle, and about becoming holy one with the power that we are as the God I am. So, of course, I opened to this book again that I did last week, The Power of Unconditional Love, kept by Ken Keyes Jr., and what do I open to but responsibility without blame? And it goes into there's a lot of addictive programming that is triggered by a parting, especially of a long-standing relationship. And I want to just stop there. Again, I'm really jazzed about this because I really feel this is for me. I need to hear this. I need to experience this. I need to move past this. So what happens is at some point, for me, it was in the second grade, I had a moment where I fell in love with a little boy in my class. And this little boy's name was, I believe it was Arthur. I might be wrong, but I think that was his name. And the more that I was in love with him, the more he responded to me. And he wanted to sit with me, and he wanted to play with me, and he wanted to giggle with me. And that relationship for me was freedom, because I realized that I could love outside my family. I could love outside mommy and daddy and the siblings, that I really had a new set of feelings within me that I was seeing with this little relationship. And so I'm going to use that little relationship as a scenario to show me what I couldn't see maybe before now. And whoever's here, I believe that you're doing the same thing for you through me. And listen, if you will, take what you want and leave the rest. So little Artie, little Arthur, and we are playing and we have lunch together and we play out in, you know, free time and release time or whatever. We go and we play. And then all of a sudden what happens is little Arthur sees Betty. And Betty is really cute and giggly and whatever. And all of a sudden, I don't know why, but Artie walks away from me and he goes and plays with little Betty. As soon as little Artie does that, I start getting really sad because I'm thinking and feeling that Artie is all about me. We're in love. We're friends. That's friends. And the more that Artie ignores me, the more I become afraid and frightened and sad and angry, and all these triggered responses become me. And as soon as I do that, I get a memory of mommy and how she didn't listen to me and how she ignored me and how I wasn't validated and how daddy never was home and how daddy never was there to show me how beautiful I was. Anytime daddy came near me, it was unsafe. So that my whole life now evolves around how mommy loved me and how daddy loved me, how they treated me and how they didn't treat me. So as soon as Artie goes and spends time with another little girl called Betty, I'm back home and I'm feeling unloved. That is the key in my mind to every relationship that I have from that moment onward. Bruce Lipton talks about, which I shared in my Course in Miracles classes over and over again for the last 21, 22 years, and that is, I would say to the people in the class, remember that first love relationship. Remember that when you met that aspect of yourself, whether it be, you know, you're 15 and your first boyfriend, or whether it was me in the second grade with little Artie, or whether it was that first beautiful play at the piano, you knew that was your heart's fulfillment, whatever it was, in that moment, you do not know time, space. You do not know the body that you're playing with or that you're kissing or that you're tinkering with. Nothing is visible. All that you know is that you are absolutely in love. You don't see the other person. You don't even, the rest of the world just disappears. You don't see the world. I know that when I'm in art and I'm really dedicated to bringing forth a creation, that I can do it for days straight with no sleep, and I feel absolutely, completely okay because I'm so in my purpose. So anyway, I know that everything in my perceptual reality is teaching me 24/7 what I feel about me. How I relate to me is how I relate to God, how I relate to my world, how my body and I relate, how every relationship I have, whether it be husband, whether it be children, whether it be neighbor, whether it be whatever. So everything in my perceptual reality is telling me exactly what I feel about me and validating it. So meeting Bruce Lipton on this level, and that the newest book, The Honeymoon Effect and How to Live Heaven on Earth, has been my passion for 22 years. That has been my goal. And that has been what I've been trying to teach myself so that I can live in a complete love relationship with the body called the Nandra of Love, and then see it out pictured in the perfect male, in the perfect children, in the perfect environment. Tickle my throat. Even that is a trigger response. So anyway, with that in mind, I start realizing that most of my relationships were based on how much Daddy didn't love me, how much he did not emotionally connect with me, how he didn't protect me, how he didn't validate the female. And every relationship I was having, starting with my body, was telling me that's what I was feeling. So when I listen to the Bruce Lipton and I see that in that experience, he is saying the same thing as me, that he had an early marriage, which I had when I was 19, was my first relationship, and I met a man that I felt mirrored exactly what I was feeling about myself. He had said that one little statement, which was that I was probably one of the most inspirational people he ever met. I felt that was love, and within 6 months I was engaged, 6 months later I was married, 10 months later I had a child. All based on him saying that he liked something about me. Because most of my life I never heard that. I never heard that I was absolutely loved. I never felt that I was validated. So all my relationships from that moment on was based upon what I felt about me. And so in that book, which I hadn't started reading completely. I read the first 10 pages, and then I listened to that Blog Talk Radio, which I'll go back to in a little while, by the way, because I think that it's really powerful. And again, I would highly recommend anyone who hasn't listened to it to listen to it, and I'll give you the address after I'm done tonight at the end. But basically, he's telling you how he had been in a relationship early on based on what he felt he was worth with Mommy and Daddy, and how he connected with a woman, and how after a number of years, I think it was like 17 years, he had two children, and he realized that most of his life he was compromising, and that eventually he just became, like we all do, a program response machine, that we are basically compromising our love nature, our integrity, our self-realized state to accommodate the program called This Is the Way Love Is. And that love that we're doing with that other, whether it be the job we're in, whether it be the man we're with, whether it be the kids we're raising, is all about how Mommy and Daddy didn't love us. And so that as soon as I'm in that love relationship with the perfect male, all of a sudden I find him, and I thought I did it at least 5 times this lifetime. And I said, there he is. We come together, no effort at all, and it is dynamite. For those first few months, there is nothing but absolute bliss. I feel beautiful. I don't want to eat. I don't need anything because I know that that male is nearing for me my heart's completion. As soon as he does something that doesn't resonate with joining, as soon as he starts separating on any level, Sorry about that. I got disconnected. So as soon as you have a triggered response in you, you have a memory, and that memory brings you back to what it was like to be in that relationship with mommy and daddy. What they modeled for you, you become, and you usually become the one that resonates best with your experience, with your spirit. And so daddy reacts to the girl, or mommy reacts to the guy. And as soon as that happens, you're lost in the woods. As soon as that happens, you are no longer present. And that entire relationship then is based upon what you thought love was about. And so for me to come to this realization, which I've been coming to for the last 20, really most of my life, but the last 20 years where I have really, which is only a time and space, a mindset, because it's always been there, the answer, and it's always been there, the problem. So what I'm saying is, for some reason, at this moment, the validation of Bruce Lipton writing this book, me picking it up and feeling, seeing it and saying, I know this. I knew that book. And I know that that book was just science validating for Ananda of Love what she's come to realize. So that every relationship I have, starting with the body, is based upon whether I felt loved or not by my primary caregivers, which is what I came in to do, because I'm just a spirit. And my spirit came through the perfect vessel to bring forth that which I was, and then to change it and to go back to God. So what I feel is that coming to this awareness now is for mankind, because we're all one. We're all absolutely awakening the heart. And when that heart awakens and we really start believing that we are lovable, when we start realizing that it's not about another validating the love we are, it's about us remembering and reminding ourselves in every present moment that we are loved. Bruce says in this book, again, I didn't read the book, but, you know, I know the book, that only 5% of our waking state is conscious, that 95% of our experience is subconscious, and that 95% is actually motivating, activating, and spiraling energy into form, and that is what we see in our perceptual reality. 95% of what we see, we're not conscious that we're bringing in vicariously through what we've taught about ourselves. So as I've always said, and I'm going to say it again, if we want to know how we feel ourselves, the first place to look is at our body. How does it look? How does it feel? Does the body feel loved? Does it have an ailment of any kind? Where is that ailment? Where does it resonate within your being? What does it trigger in you? Does it trigger a backache? Does it trigger an irritation? Does it trigger a disease that makes you feel like you're going to die because somebody told you it's terminal? Does your relationship mirror for you that you're loved, the relationship with the body? What about the relationship that you're with called wife or husband? What does that bring up in you? Because that is the perfect relationship to show you how you don't love yourself or how much you do love yourself. The body condition is only a conditioned set of mind, of beliefs. And as we change those beliefs, which we can only do if we're conscious, because the unconscious mind, the subconscious mind, is a program. It's a recorder, and then it's a playback. And all it does is play back over and over and over again what we were conditioned to believe for the first 7 years of our life, over and over. And so most of mankind, as I've come to see it, are unconscious. They're sound asleep, and I call the walking dead aspects of the one that are sound asleep. And revelation, as we see it, which I talk about over and over again on the show, is the awakening of the Son of God, is the realization that we are one with the infinite field, that I am one with the infinite field of love. Little portals or little sections of humanity is waking up. They're all waking up. Politics, the politicians are revealing themselves. the government on all different levels revealing itself, people that needed to free themselves revealing themselves, aspects of the One revealing ourselves all along, because we're awakening. And in that awakening process, there's a lot of kicking and screaming, because most of reality, as I've come to see it, want to stay sound asleep and don't want to awaken the love that they are. I really always find myself in situations where there's a lot of people that are very religious, and I believe that's because aspects of me have probably been in that reality, or, you know, are simultaneously priests or nuns or whatever I've been or am right now in different realities. So I call in, because I'm so spiritual and so focused on God realization, a lot of that. And to see people, aspects of the self that are absolutely brilliant, that absolutely are so aware and so creative, indoctrinated with the belief that Jesus is their only way, that's their savior, and as long as they believe in him, they will live eternally after the body dies. And not even to question what they're thinking. Not even to question that they're thinking a pack of lies, because in truth, nothing outside of us is going to save us, because we already are it all. We already are the Christ. We already one with God. We are already the lover and the lovee. We are already the divine union. And so to watch that and to constantly say, but you don't understand, it's about love. And the love is about self-love, self-remembrance. I remember who I am. And in that experience, I start seeing little flowers sprout out of that seed, which Iggy has with Insights Radio on his main page. He's got a little seed that's about to sprout, and that's what we are. We're seedlings, and we're about to sprout into the flowers that we are. And so we have this Bruce Lipton, who was teaching about biology and stem cell research for the last 35, 40 years, and he starts having spiritual awakening, realizing that what he's teaching is a pack of lies, that in epigenetics you can alter the genes, you can change the environment, you can take unhealthy cells from a petri dish and put it into healthy cells in a petri dish, and those unhealthy cells will immediately trigger a healthy response in the new environment. And where is the environment? It's within. Where is within? It's in the mind of the perceiver. Because what I think and what I feel about me will decide what my world demonstrates for me. And I see there's people that are on the chat room. If there's anything you want to ask, any questions, any comments, any insights, please feel free. I would really love to. We have 15 minutes left, so we got some time. I would love to definitely have someone just call in and or just ask what it is that they would like to maybe see different in their reality about themselves, so that they can in fact change their relationships. There is a caller on the line, and I'm not sure if I'm going to open the line right now, but I'd be really interested in seeing something on the chat room, a question or a comment. So now, am I, it says we lost sound. Are you guys hearing me now? Please, somebody in the chat room, tell me if you can hear me. Okay. So if there's anybody in the chat room at this point that would like to ask a question, please feel free to. If you're having a body issue, let's do it. John, hello, Angel. I'm so happy that you're spending a moment with me. Is there anything that you want to work through right now that you see that, I know you've been having some stuff with your body and your circumstances, because, you know, I do follow everything that you share on my page. Is there anything that you would like to work through right now? Anything that you can't recognize as a belief in you outpictured in your world? All right, he says, surgery, I'm having body issues with my scar. Where is the scar, love? Where is the scar, honey? it's absolutely profound because, you know, a scar is, in fact, a scar. And because I believe, and you don't have to accept that, but I believe that everything in our perceptual reality is, in fact, something from the past. So across my chest onto my, to my back. So it's around your entire body. So, you know, I immediately pick up that there is something, and again, that was your throat. Was it something with your throat that you weren't able to speak up? That, you know, I know that you speak up, but you were really repressed on some level, very much so, physically, mentally, and emotionally. And with that, you're carrying the scar. And so the surgery went fine, and the healing maybe went fine, but you're still being irritated by this issue that you haven't healed within. So in my mind, in Course in Miracles is what I teach, everything that we identify in the body called dis-ease, we, as soon as we identify it, it's gone. So can you identify for yourself right now what it was that has been causing you so much trauma in your life? Because as you release it, it's gone. And even in time, you'll see the scar disappear. That you have no sign at all. Even I always talk about it doesn't have to be just a physical ailment. It could be a mutilation of the body. It could be some kind of malformation. It doesn't matter. As soon as you truly accept that you are one with the highest reality in total love, it goes. Now, to face your past, I don't, you know, for many years, again, being a counselor, I thought that I had the answers for everybody. And in fact, I was just tapping into my own need to heal, that I thought I had to constantly go to the past. I don't have to go to the past. I can come to present moment. And in fact, the only way really to transform anything is to absolutely forget whatever occurred. And that means that it was all an illusion anyway. It was a delusion that you thought that you had to identify with in order to make you who you are today. So if we are really one with spirit, which we are, the body, Jesus taught that, which is the coolest thing that he gave any of us in time, where he said, I'm giving up this body to show you the body is not real. I'm going to be crucified. I'm God, but I'm going to be crucified. I'm going to pretend to you. I'm going to hang this costume up that you and I can relate to, John, because of our theater background. I mean, as soon as we took those costumes off, those characters left us after a couple of months anyway, because we held on to the mindset and the emotional body of the character. But once we really let go, what happened? Being in theater for me was the best gift that I could have given myself, because I realized that it's all a play. Even the reality called lover, even the reality called parents, even the reality called whatever, you know. Everything in our world is just a skit. It's just a scenario that we out picture to validate for us what we feel about ourselves. So once I really know that I am spirit and my spirit determines what I see in my reality, I make it a point to stay conscious perpetually. Today I lost it for a while. I was caught into the web because all the males around me are insensitive. They don't get it, you know. They don't get that I'm under love, you know, that I really am loved. My son said it's all about, you know, the masses don't get you, but we get you. And we learn from you because we understand that you're a goddess. But you know what? Most people can't take the intensity of the love that you are, because that love makes them have to look at their insecurities. They have to see that they're holding something in between you and them. And it's not good. It's all about fear. All right, John says, I do say the mantra, I am in the right place at the right time, doing the right thing. Louise said it, I think it means being present. I love how loving you are. It's so valuable. All right, so, yeah, Louise Hay is amazing. I have that one little five-minute meditation that I have now, I think, 208,000 people, and it's mind-boggling because it's only 5 minutes long. But for some reason, people are changing their lives through this little expression of my heart. That probably is the truest expression of anything that I've been, because it's validating the love, because a man just wrote me and said, after listening to it, he quit smoking. And I've heard that a lot in my life about my counseling, but to actually have a little piece of God out pictured on YouTube that's actually transforming aspects of me that really need just to feel loved by an answer of love, because I believe that my voice in that CD or in that YouTube is absolutely loving. And that's about, that's what Louise Hay is about loving. But if it's beyond the affirmative, it's a beyond the affirmation of I am loved. It's a state of remembrance that love is all I am. And that means we've got to wipe the slate clean, but we can only do that if we let go of the past. In truth, there is no past. It's just parallel reality. And we can at any moment step into any one of those doors and live a different reality. You know, I always used to say it's like the, you know, spiritual smorgasbord board. You go through the time, space, and you put the label in that which, or a little, you know, serving spoon and what you want to taste. So what I assume about me is what I see. And if I allow myself to go back into the program, into the recorder, the database, with what I was told I was and reaffirmed I was, then I have no control over changing my reality. The only time I have free will is to be present. In that moment, when I'm in that moment, I can choose again. And I can choose again perpetually. As soon as I point at you, I am pressing the recorder button in time, space, and replaying what Daddy told me about me. As soon as I react to you, I am pressing on the recorder button and replaying what Mommy told me I wasn't. And every time I point at you, you become my God, and you tell me then who I am. Every time I do that to myself, my body is my teacher. And the more that I tell it, the more it does. The more I tell it I hate it, the more it shows me my hate, my self-hate. And how did it do it? Little growth on the leg, little irritation, gaining weight, losing weight, whatever. It doesn't matter. It's going to tell me exactly how I feel about me. And if you ask it the question, why do you give me these backaches, what would it say? Well, you know, you're telling me that you carry the world, you're a victim, so here's some pain. Victimization only can occur when I believe I'm a body. When I listen to the dictates and the teaching of those that came before me, the sins of the ones that came before me, the errors of the ones that came before me, I become. My world becomes my body and my body of work. So I am, as I said in the last show, the master of my universe. I am one with the one. I am is my experience. It's so basic. And in Bruce's book, I'm going to say it again, even though I've been teaching it for 20-odd years, that book is teaching you how to love your body, mind, and spirit, and your relationships come with it. How I love me is what I see in my world. He's got three books now, Biology of Beliefs, Spontaneous Consciousness, and now this new one, The Honeymoon Effect. He calls it the trilogy. He says one is about loving the self, that's biology of beliefs, the cells, how they reignite when we start feeling great about ourselves. They start dancing, they start singing songs of love, and immediately it's in a healthy environment and everything changes. Spontaneous Consciousness is about the illusion of this grand world we're in. That's really just an outpicture of what we feel about ourselves because it's relative. Our world is relative to our own belief system. So I'll sit with an Obama fan. I'll sit with a Republican. I'll sit with a Jew. I'll sit with a Christian. They're all coming from what they were told was right about them and what was wrong about them, and they bring it to the table. They bring their stuff to the table. But in truth, they're all aspects of the one with the rites of passage to be whatever they want to be. And it could be they want to stay in the matrix of fear and be a victim and be brutalized. But many of us in this path, and I say us, and I know it's not real, it's only me, because there is only one. The relative world is a perceptual reality. Mostly, I am in love. I really believe that when Bruce says it's 5% consciousness, and 95% consciousness, that I got to believe that I'm at least 50-50 because I really do see the fruits of my labor. I do see that when I'm angry and upset with myself that I'll get that slap in the face or somebody treating me unfairly. I do see when I'm loving and adoring myself that I am honored like I'm a queen. I do see the polarity. When you start becoming the witness and watching and stop pointing that finger, John. Stop blaming the world for anything, because your world is divinely placed by you to show you how to wake up. So those that have said it the most, or the body that's screaming, help me, or the relationship that's saying, I need you, is really just you saying, you got to love you more. The only answer to disease is love. Course in Miracles says that, you know, see the fear of love, and fear is an illusion. Fear is a learned behavior. Love is natural. It's just who we are. And when I'm in that state of love, as I share all the time, you cannot want for anything in that state, because you know that everything is yours anyway. You know that everybody that comes into your reality is serving you. They're literally your servants. They're there to show you what you ask them to. You know, John, I always use that scenario about being, you know, on stage, whether I was a director or a performer. You know, those guys are in, those players are in that player in the wings. As soon as you give them that cue, what happens? They show up exactly the way you expected them to. Very rarely will that actor decide to do his own skit on stage. He usually does what the director has told him to do, and that's what life is. And who's the director? You are. And who's the performer? You are. Everything that's occurring is occurring inside you, to you, from you, back at you. I can't believe we only have 2 minutes left. I have so much more to share and so much more to give. But again, I'm only listening to myself out loud because that's what I'm here for, to awaken to the God-realized state. John says, this is so meaning. Thank you for sharing love. Love you. I'm going to send you... I listened to your affirmation tonight. I just saved you to, but okay, and I got 2 more minutes left, so I want to just, is that 2 minutes? Yeah, 1 minute and a half. I want to just give you the name of that show that Bruce was on. I'm telling you, 90 seconds. Come on, it's telling me I have 90 seconds. I got to give this to you. It's Blog Talk Radio, and the name of the show that I took that clip from was, where is it? Come on. Okay, it's called, I don't know what the lady's name is, but the show is Life in the Present Time, and Bruce Lipton, PhD, author of The Honeymoon Effect, is the man that she's interviewing, who I am absolutely in love with. He's married, and he's very, very happily married, and I'm so glad. We have 60 minutes left, and again, I'm going to tell you guys, stay present, stay in love, because you are it. You know, John, I want to see you walk as you are, as the child of the Most High, and it's not religious. We are one with God, that's all. And knowing that you are one with love and sharing it with everyone you meet, how do you do that? Be loved. No matter what the circumstances look like, choose again. Come back to love. Come back to love. Now, I love you all. Have a beautiful week. Thanks for being patient with me. I had that little cut in the show, little disconnect, but I will edit it so it'll be free-flowing tonight, and I hope it's clear. So have a beautiful week. I love you, and I'll meet you next week at same time, same place, 12 midnight on, I call it Thursday, Friday, because I don't know which one is next Thursday. Okay, good night, everybody. I love you.